Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When I sat down to start this sermon on Tuesday, I was still exhausted. Lent, Holy Week, Easter, it's the busiest portion of a pastor's year. I had a fever Sunday afternoon. I had a fever Monday. I had a fever on Tuesday. By Tuesday afternoon, I still had felt like I was hit with a ton of bricks. And the reason I bring this up is because it is a great analogy. Just a spectacular analogy. Isn't that how we often feel after Lent? You know, you make it through all of the extra services, the deep reflection on our sinfulness, you know, maybe an increased time in devotion. The truth is that after Lent, we're all ready to be refreshed, to move on to spring cleaning. Right? Get rid of some of the old stuff we don't need, you know, clean up some of the cobwebs, which I also did a little bit of this week. The gardening, right? The warm weather, the summer vacation-y sort of feel. We're excited for the refreshing moments that accompany spring and summer. That's our next thing to look forward to. Granted, we still have an Ascension service coming up May 25th, by the way. But, you know, we're looking forward to the summer activities, the things that are bright and sunshiny. And this is the theme we find in our text from 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Father has caused us to be born again. Now, maybe you've heard that phrase get thrown around amongst Christians, right? Are you a born again Christian? What does that mean? Is it better than being a regular Christian? Well, first, it must mean that there's something wrong with our first birth. We all know about that one, right? The one when you were born as a little tiny baby, and although I'm certain you all looked as adorable as every other baby, you were born with a fatal flaw. We all know in the Lutheran Church, we call it sin. And if you don't believe me that babies are born selfish, then I will give you a little clue. I have two children of my own, and my children are obviously angels, unlike some other children. But most of the time when a baby is born, you know, mom has gone through a very long labor. And, you know, because of the curse we have from Adam and Eve, we know that this labor is, well, it's exhausting, right? And so what is the first thing mom wants to do after baby's born? Nap, right? Or maybe eat something, or, you know, probably start to take care of herself a little while since she's been laboring and worrying about the baby for umpteen hours. But does baby let mom sleep? No, right? The first thing a baby does is cries, is seeks out immediate attention, showing no regard whatsoever for mom and her physical needs. The truth is that babies are the epitome of selfishness. Even after you bring them home from the hospital, they don't care that their parents are asleep at 3:30 in the morning. They're hungry or not, or they need their diaper changed, or maybe they don't. Maybe they're just awake. Like, go to sleep, kid. The truth is that babies are the epitome of selfishness. And the truth is that they can't help it. It's hardwired into their being, into what it means to be human after the fall into sin. Well, my friends, not that much has changed. From the time that you were a baby until now, not much has changed. You're still driven by your own selfish inclinations, looking out for yourself and not considering your neighbor around you. Aren't we always seeking our own good first, our own benefit first? And maybe when we feel like our sinful, selfish desire has gotten enough, then maybe we'll say, well, now I have a little extra to give away to somebody else. Or maybe now that it's convenient for me, I can start to consider what my neighbor might need. Even the most pious things we might accomplish in this life, or the things that seem like they are righteous, will always have some sort of self-righteous, selfish inclination that sort of underlies the whole thing. There's always that selfish motive that's buried, hidden beneath the surface, and we make sure it's hidden so nobody can see it. The truth is that you can't help it. It's hardwired into your being. It's what it means to be a human being after the fall into sin. The truth is that your first birth is flawed. You must be born again. And it means that this selfishness, this sin within you, it needs to be put to death. You know, if there is something wrong with us inherently, there is no reforming it. If we were born with the defect, it means that we can't sort of mold it out of ourselves. We can't change it. We can't amend it in some way. The only way to deal with sin is death. You have to kill it. Or really, Jesus does. And so repent of your sin. Repent of your selfishness. Repent of your pride. Repent of every thought, word, and deed against God's word, and receive new life in Jesus. My friends, if you don't realize your sin or your need for repentance, then resurrection Jesus means nothing. If there is no sin for Jesus to die for and come back to life for, then there is no reason for Jesus to die and rise in the first place. His resurrection is literally worthless unless you repent. And so give up thinking that you can change your ways. Give up thinking that you can amend yourself. Give up thinking that you can hold on to some sin that you still have. You need to admit that your first birth was not good enough. It wasn't good at all. You want to know what it means to be born again? It means Jesus takes your sin onto himself. It means he was nailed to the cross with them. It means that he dies with your sin, and now they're dead. Jesus shed his blood with them. He's paid for them. They are dead as he is on the cross. And as his body is taken down and buried in the tomb, your sins are dead with him there. They go with him all the way into the grave. It means you are crucified with Christ and all your sin with you. And if you and your sin are crucified with him, it means you are also resurrected with him. You live with him. You are born again from the tomb with him. For it is by believing in this Jesus who entered into death for you and was raised from the dead for you that you have a living hope. Not a dead one. Not one that just exists on Sunday morning. You have a living hope. A hope that dwells inside you, within you. And a hope that drives you not to live that life of sinfulness during your first birth, but a life of faith. A life of faithfulness. You want to know what it means to be born again? Well, we can't help but think about Nicodemus, right? Nicodemus, who goes to Jesus under the cover of night, and Jesus specifically tells him, be born of water and spirit. To be born again means not only that you believe in Jesus' death and resurrection, but it means that you've received it. That by baptism, you are born again. You know, in the early church, they used to call baptism the womb of the church. Because it is through baptism that you come forth in faith. You die in those waters and you are raised back to new life. It's a day when you were connected to Jesus' death and resurrection. On the day I was baptized, and the day you were baptized, all of your sins were co-crucified with Christ. Born again by water and Spirit, you were raised with Him. You want to know what it means to be born again? It means trusting in the promises that God has given you. Believing that Jesus truly did die for you and for your sin. That Jesus Christ truly did rise for you and for your sin. It means you are forgiven. Do you believe that? There's a promise of everlasting salvation for you, and it's yours today. What does it mean to be born again? To be a born again Christian? It just means you're a Christian. A Christian who believes in a full cross, where Jesus takes your sins, but an empty tomb. A tomb that Jesus walks out of to declare His victory. And so the truth is that you are born again. Whether you've heard that before or not, you are a Christian, and that means you are born with Jesus Christ. My friends, the truth is that sin is exhausting. It really is. Having to live with this sinful nature that we were all born with, when you really come face to face with it, when you really look it in the eyes, it is exhausting to struggle against it. And it makes you feel like you've been hit with a ton of bricks. It causes no end to hardship and pain in this life. It causes grief and trials. It's the perpetual Lent that we have to live through every single day. But even in the midst of the sin and hardship, the Lord gives you springy things. You know, those spring and summertime joys that we're all so looking forward to. Because God has promised you salvation in His Son, who lives and dies and lives again, that you might be born again with Him. In Jesus' name. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.